We're in Yeshaya, Perek Yud Gimel. We're learning the Mas of Bavel, the Nevuah that was said about Bavel, Babylonia, the nation that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And it was foretold, as we learned, Al Har Nishbeh, about that high mountain, referring to the Babylonian Empire. The banner has been raised. The nations of Paras, Persia, and especially Modai, Media, came and returned for another attack against the city of Bavel. Anitzi Vesi Limakudoshoi, Hashem commanded in Pasuk Gimel those that he's dedicated for the mission, and they returned to Bavel, and they conquered it, and they killed Belshazzar, the king, that night. In Pasuk Yud, Kichochei Hashemayim Uchesileihem, the stars of the heavens, Uchesileihem, and all the constellations, Lo Yahelu Orom, they won't radiate their light. Choshach Hashemesh Betzeiso, the sun will be dark when it comes out, when it rises, V'yoreach Lo Yagia Oro, and the moon won't shine forth its light. It's as if the whole world is dark for Bavel. Bavel's about to experience the punishment for all the terrible actions that they've done, destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and especially the Navi speaks about their pride and haughtiness. Ufakarati al tevel ra'a, I will visit evil on the Tevel, on the civilized, on the settled part of Bavel. Val Rishoim Avonam, and on the Rishoim I will visit the Avonam, their sins will be brought back to them. V'hishpati Gaon Zedim, and I will end the pride of the Zedim, those that are wanton sinners. They have that brashness and that boldness, and they sin intentionally. V'gava Saritzim Ashpil, and the haughtiness of the mighty, Ashpil, I will bring low. There's two parts of the punishment. There's, the Malba mentions, we'll see in a moment, the punishment, as it said in Pasuk Tes, is going to be brought by an enemy who's achzori, who's cruel. And then there's Evra. Evra's a fury, but Evra is a term that's used when it doesn't only affect the person who's arousing the anger, but Evra is when the wrath just spills over and affects everyone. The Malbim gives the example, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem." Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, "Hashem was angry with me because of you, and therefore I can't go into Eretz Yisrael." But the word Vayisaber is, for some reason, Klal Yisrael wasn't deserving, and therefore Moshe ended up suffering as a result. There were whatever complaint there was on Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu says whatever fault he himself had, he's not being allowed in Eretz Yisrael. It has to do with Klal Yisrael. Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem. Hashem had an evra because of you. And in Pasuk Tes, it said the day of Hashem is coming, achzori, there's going to be a cruel enemy. Ve'evron, it's going to bring a wrath, a fury from Hashem. And it's not only going to hit those Rishoim, the wicked of Bavel, but it's going to hit the whole land. And there'll be a charoinaf, that burning anger. Losum ha'aretz l'shama, the land will be desolate, v'chato eho, and the sinners, yashmi mena, will be destroyed. There's the two parts to it. The Evra, the fury, is going to affect the whole land. The sinners will be affected by the Charonaf, the burning anger. They'll be like singled out, but it will affect everyone. And here in Pasuk Yid Aleph, again it says, Ufakarati al Tevel Ra'ah. The whole earth, the whole land of Bavel, will be remembered with evil. The day of punishment is coming to Bavel. And especially Val Rishoyim Avonim, the sin will be focused on the Rishoyim, they'll get their punishment, but in a broader sense, the whole land is going to be destroyed. V'hishpati ga'on zedim. And I will stop that, the haughtiness, the pride of the zedim, the wantum sinners, v'gavas aritzim ashpil. And the haughtiness of the aritzim, the mighty, ashpil I'll bring low. Okir enosh mi poz. I will make man more valuable, yokar, will be more precious, mi poz, than rare gold. The odom and people, odom will be more precious, mi kesem ofir, than the precious gold that comes from ofir. This is one example of how you can have a pasuk, and the Mefarshim all explain that it has to do with Bavel being wiped out. And yet they discuss it, there's three different explanations, three different stages among the Mefarshim that are printed on the page in the Mikros Gedolos. The Malbim explains, this is telling us why Bavel is getting such a punishment. Bavel went ahead, and we'll learn more in the following parak also, that Bavel controlled the world, it was their empire, and there were many people that were killed and tortured and suffered as a result of Bavel. Okir enosh mipoz. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even if a person is an enosh, he seems to us to be insignificant. Like it says in Tehillim, Mo enosh ki siz karenu. Who's an enosh that you should remember him? Enosh is a term used for somebody who seems to be unimportant. But the enosh, I will consider to be more valuable mipoz than precious gold. And the Adam is the man on a higher level. A person who's an Adam, he'll be even more valuable than kesem ofir, the precious gold of ofir, which is worth more than poz. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says even the minor people that Bavel killed and mistreated, that's precious in the eyes of Hashem. And therefore, Bavel's going to get their punishment. And certainly the Adam, the fact that they made the great ones, could be it's referring to Klal Yisrael, they're more dear than Kesem Ophir. And Bavel went ahead and it caused so much suffering in the world. And therefore, Bavel deserves their punishment. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama in the end of Perek HaKones. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rava, Hanosein Dinar Zov Leisha. If somebody gives a gold coin to a woman, V'amar lo, and he tells her, Hizari bo, be careful with it, Shal Kesef, who it's silver. Could be he knows that she would be hesitant to take gold. It's like, you know, you want to give somebody $1,000 to bring the envelope to somebody down the block, and you know he's going to be hesitant to accept so much money. So you put the money in the envelope, and you say it's $100. $100 he'll carry to down the block. $1,000 he might be hesitant. So anyways, this man gave a coin to a woman. He said, be careful, it's silver. Now the truth is it was gold. And we know that it was gold. Could be he had witnesses that showed that it was really gold wrapped up. There's no question it was gold. But he told her it was silver. Hizi koso, if she damaged it, she didn't care about it, and whatever, she damaged it. Mishalemes dinar zov. She's going to have to pay the value of a gold coin. Mishum de amar lo, because the man will tell her, Mai havalech gabei da'azate. What business did you have with this coin to damage it? Your defense is you thought it was silver. But even if it's silver, you don't have a right to damage my coin. So if she damaged it, what's the difference whether you thought it was silver, you thought it was gold? You're culpable because you had no right doing that. Poshabo, if she's negligent, no, she wasn't careful, she didn't treat it the way you should treat a gold coin. She was careless. Mishalem mishal kesev. Then she only has to pay for a silver coin. Domrele, she can say, Netirusa de kaspa kabili olai. I accept it to watch it like I watch a silver coin. But Netirusa de havalo kabili olai. I didn't accept to watch it like gold. And obviously, the more valuable something is, the more careful a person is where he puts it and how he treats it. So if she was careless and didn't treat a gold coin the way it should be, if he told her it was silver, she's innocent. I once heard Rav Pam My Rebbe Rav Palm quote that Gemara, but it's a lesson in life. I think he applied it in terms of chinuch, that you have to be careful how you treat. You should know your talmidim are gold, and if you make a wrong step, you can't say you thought they were only silver. You should know they're. But a person, this idea that Bavel might have been killing people and mistreating people, and they didn't even realize, they thought it was an enosh. But a person, whatever they did, even if it would be an enosh, and even if it wasn't so valuable, and even if they didn't realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats that common, simple person more than gold, but Bavel had no right doing what they were doing. And if somebody damages a silver coin, they're held responsible if it's gold, even if they didn't know the true value. And here Bavel's told, Okir Enosh Mipaz, Hashem says you might have hurt that Enosh. There were people that you killed. I value them more than a rare gold. The Adam and the prominent people, the Gedolim, those are even more Mikesem Ofir. That's like the most valuable thing that could be in the world, more than the gold of the precious gold of Ophir. That's why Bavel's punished. The Mitzudis learns, this is talking about the punishment of Bavel. Okir Enosh Mipoz. Bavel shouldn't think that they'll be able to bribe themselves out of a punishment. That when the enemy army comes, they'll empty the treasury, they'll pay off the invaders, and they will win their freedom, their life. But Hashem says no. When the time comes for punishment, it'll be more valuable to me that everyone in Bavel that deserves to die will be killed. And Okir Enosh Mipaz, there'll be no, there's a final accounting, and the people in Bavel shouldn't think they can pay off and they can ransom for their sins. But Okir Enosh Mipaz, I'll value that Enosh in Bavel, that Babylonian foot soldier, but if he deserves to be killed, it'll be more important that he gets his punishment than Mipaz. The enemy armies aren't going to want the rare gold, which we'll learn about more, but Madai wasn't interested in getting the wealth. They set out to destroy Bavel. The Adam and the important, the prominent people in Bavel, they're more valuable than Kesem Ophir, than the precious gold of Ophir, and Hashem will see to it that they are punished. And Rashi learns a third pshat. We're talking now about the punishment of Bavel. But at the same time that Bavel got the punishment, that same night, Daniel rose to greatness. Okir Enosh Mipaz. I'm going to take that Enosh, that simple man, I'm going to make him more valuable than a rare gold. Rashi says, Bo Balayla, on that night, when Belshazzar is killed, when the enemy army of Madai comes pouring into the palace. But that night, Achavides Daniel Mipoz, I'm going to honor Daniel more than rare gold. Kishehevihu Likros Michtov, when they brought Daniel in to read that writing on the wall that we spoke about previously, they saw the hand writing the words, Menei Menei Tekelu Parson, it's been measured, weighed, and the empire of Bavel will be broken. Beidayin Amar Belshazzar, Rashi brings the pasuk, then Belshazzar said, gave the decree, V'hobishu yos Daniel agavona, and they dressed Daniel in purple, they gave him that gold chain, and they gave him a third of the malchus. And remarkably, even though the government changed to Madai, and then later to Paras, Daniel remained a major force in the government through, he continued being the leader, government, the next empire. But Okir Enosh Mipaz, at the time that Bavel's punished, but I will value Daniel, and he'll be more valuable than gold. Alkein Shamayim argues, and therefore because Bavel deserves its punishment, the Shamayim, the heavens themselves, will argue, I'll make them tremble. V'sira sha'aretz mimakoma, and the earth will rumble from its place. The evras Hashem tzvakos. Again, there's an evra. The evra is that fury that the Malbim learns doesn't only affect the direct focus of the anger, but it's going to spill over that the whole country is going to be destroyed. There's an evra, a tremendous fury of Hashem Tzvokos, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Tzvokos, who controls everything, Lord of Hosts. Uv'yom charon apo, and on the day of his burning wrath, this is going to happen. And Rashi again says, quoting the Rashi on this pasuk, Shamayim argues, Kol tzvom yirgaz kisha'apil sora shel bovel. In the Shamayim, there's going to be a trembling when I'm going to throw down the sora, the malach, the guardian angel of Bovel, the malach of Bovel. It's sora, it's officer in Shamayim. Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifram yina umos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the nations ad shenifram yisareyim, until their malach in Shamayim is given a punishment. Tchila first. Shenemer yifkod Hashem al tzva morom ba morom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the malachim in Shamayim. And then afterwards, v'achar kach al malchei ha'adama bo'adama. The kings down here are punished. So when we see a tumult and a commotion among the different nations, and there's friction, and there's talk of war, and there's a conflict, we should know we're seeing a reflection of what's happening in Shamayim. Daniel elaborates to how the malachim from the different nations came into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I was there, and he was defending Michoel, the malach Michoel, and Gavriel was speaking to Daniel that they were there to defend Klal Yisrael. But we're seeing the shockwaves down here on earth. But the real action is in Shamayim. And Al-Kain Shamayim argues, the heavens themselves will tremble. There's a Ramban that we've mentioned previously, and it might come in again later in this year. But the Ramban that talks about the Soyer HaMishtaleach, that goat that was sent La'Azazel, the Ramban makes the point there also, that Soyer, the goat, which we'll see later on, represents like the demons. And Soyer is also like Seir, which is Esav. Hinei Esav Ochi Ish Soyer. Esav is Seir. And that Malach is also, has this power, whatever, this Soyer, this Esav, he mentions among the stars, among the planets, is the planet of Madim, which is Mars, which is known as, it's called the red planet, the planet of war. You don't have any foreign aliens coming to Earth from Saturn or from Pluto. But it's just interesting that the world, this concept from Chazal, you see the Goyim have sort of picked up on that. But it says Madim, the planet of Mars, is the power of bloodshed, of the sword. That's where nowadays they'll say that's where the aliens come from, but the Ramban says it's the same idea, it's all connected. Soyer and Esav is Al-Char B'Chasichia, to live by the sword, and it's under the constellation, it's under the control of Madim. In fact, the Gemara says different people are born under the force of different planets. If somebody's born under the influence of Madim, the person born will be a shedder of blood. If he's a tzaddik, he'll become a moyel. If he's a beinani, he'll become a shoychet, he'll shecht animals. And if he's a rasha, he'll be somebody to kill. But people have certain natures. It's not a bad nature. A person has to know how to use it to serve Hashem. Let him become a moyel. Or let him become a surgeon to help people. And Uman, the Gemara mentions, a bloodletter. But each planet, everything has a connection with the people down here, and the nations have their guardian, their malach, and Al-Kaim Shamayim argues, therefore I'll make the heavens tremble. And the effect will be felt down here, v'sirash ha'aretz mimakoma, and then the earth will rumble from its place, be'evras Hashem Tzvokos, with the fury of Hashem, uv'yom charon apo, when Hashem shows his burning wrath. V'hoyo ki tzvi mudach. Now, the Malbim learns, we'll see in a moment, it's going to talk about the children being killed in Pasuk Tezayin. V'oluleim yiruchu. The children will be killed. And then again it repeats itself in Pasuk Yurches. Ufriveten lo yirachemu, again, that the children, were, there won't be any mercy on those that are born. The Malbim learns, we're now switching to talk about, we're talking about the punishment of Bavel. First, we're going to discuss the foreigners who are living in Bavel. There were people from many different countries. They had foreign embassies, and they were visiting people on business. The people that came to visit Bavel, at the time that the armies of Modai came in, at the time that Bavel's being destroyed, first we're going to discuss them. Their children, when it says are killed, it's going on their children. Later on, we'll talk about Bavel themselves. That's in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yud Ches. But right now, they will be like a chased away deer, a deer that's on the run, mudach, like Mekabitz, Nidche Yisrael. Nidche is the outcasts. He'll be like a deer that's chased away. Uchitzon vein Mekabitz, and like sheep that no one gathers together, with no one to gather them. Ishal amo yifnu. We're talking about the foreigners. They're going to, each one will turn to his nation, and he'll look for his colleagues, his fellow countrymen. V'ishal artzo yanusu. And everyone will flee back to their land. Sheep find protection when they are together, and there's a shepherd watching them. And if a sheep happens to slip away from the flock, he's in danger of being killed by a lion, a bear, or one of the other chayis, the wild animals in the field. The safety of the sheep is they're together and they have a shepherd taking care of them. A deer doesn't necessarily go with a herd. A deer finds a safe place among the rocks, somewhere where the deer can live. And of course, when it goes out to find food and it has to, and it leaves its protective safety, then it's in danger from the wild animals. Those that come to visit Bavel are going to be in a similar predicament. When Bavel is conquered, they're going to be like that single deer that's chased away, and the deer is looking to get back to its place of safety. Uchitzon vein makabetz, and like the sheep, where no one is, there's no shepherd to gather them together. Ishal amu yifnu. Each one, like the sheep, they're going to try to find their fellow countrymen. They're going to try to get together with their nation. V'ishal artzo yanusu. And everyone, like the deer, is going to flee back to their land. Kol hanimtza yidoker. And the reason it will be, because anyone who's found will be pierced, will be killed with a sword. And therefore they're going to try to not be a single person who's found. They're going to try to stick together with some type of protection like the sheep. Because kol hanimtza yidoker, whoever is found will be pierced. V'chol hanispe, and all those that join and gather together with Bavel and figure maybe they'll have safety by pretending they're a Babylonian like everyone else. But v'chol hanispe, all those that join the populace of the city, those that join the people of Bavel, yipol becharev, they're going to fall by the sword. And therefore, all of those visitors, maybe the tourists, everyone who came to Bavel is now going to quickly get together with their countrymen and flee and leave the country. Nispe could also mean to die. V'chol hanispe, all those that die, will not be dying peacefully on their bed. They'll be dying, v'chol hanispe, those that die, will yipol becharev, they'll fall by the sword. Va'olileihem yiruchu. The olileihem means the young ones, their babies. Yiruchu, they'll be sundered, they'll be like ripped apart or cut apart with a sword, and they'll see it. Any foreigner that remains in Bavel will see that the babies are killed. Yishasu batehem, their houses will be plundered, they'll take whatever everything is valuable, desirable in their houses. Unisham tishachavna, and their, that's the way it's read, tishachavna, their women will be ravaged, they'll be taken by the enemy. And therefore, all of the foreigners are going to abandon the country and they're going to leave. I saw that Das Sofrim discusses whether the punishment of Bavel actually happened like this, so this was the nevuah that was foretold, and perhaps the people of Bavel had some zechusim afterwards, and therefore they didn't get the full brunt of this prophecy. But we'll see later on from the destruction of the land, it seems that that was, we'll see that the land was destroyed, and the people of Madai were very cruel, and it could be this is actually what happened at the time of the conquest of Bavel. So all of the people that were visiting Bavel are going to flee, and those that remain behind are going to suffer. Hineni, and then in Pasuk Yud Zayin, behold, Hineni Meir Aleihem Es Madai. Hashem says, I'm going to rouse against them the country of Madai. Asher Kesef Lo Yachshovu. The people of Madai are not going to value silver. V'zohav Lo Yachbetzuvo. And gold. Gold has a value. Of course, they'll value it, but they won't desire it. They won't want gold. The people of Madai, when they dealt with Bavel, are not going to be interested in any money or any wealth. As the Malbim learns, by the foreigners in Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says, Yishasu Boteim, their houses would be plundered. There are people killed, there's suffering, but from the foreigners they would take their wealth. From the actual people of Bavel, Hineni Meir Aleihem, I'm going to arouse against those people of Bavel. Es Modoi, Modoi. There were the two countries, Paras and Madai, and they used to share their government. One nation would have the king, the other one would appoint the governors and the officers, and then afterwards they would switch. When Bavel was conquered, Madai had the king. It was Daryovish, HaMadai, Daryovish was the king of Madai, and he was the one that to conquer. And Madai was also the more cruel nation. We mentioned last week, Paras had a few milas, they had a few positive points. Their tznius, the Gemara says in Brachos, there were some good things about Paras. But here, the main enemy is not going to be Paras. It's going to be Madai, that's simply the cruel and vicious nation. And I'm arousing against Bavel, Es Madai, Madai. I'm arousing Madai, Asher Kesef, Lo Yachshovu. They're not going to have any regard for silver. They're not going to value it. V'zohav Lo Yachbetzuvo. And they're not going to desire gold. Somebody asked last week, he wanted to know why Bavel's getting such a punishment. It was actually foretold. There were nevuahs that Bavel was supposed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What did they do wrong? I noticed the Alshech, the Me'am Lois brings down the Alshech, and the Alshech explains the number of the Pesukim we had differently than the other Meforshim. And he says as follows, just running through quickly the Alshech, the way he explained this. He said, Masa Bavel, we're now learning about a Nevuah about the destruction of Bavel, that Yeshayo ben Amot saw. The Nevuah was, because Al-Har Nishpe, there's that high mountain, Su'un Eis, where Hashem is raising the banner. And the Alshech says the high mountain is Yerushalayim. And there was a point where Hashem raised the banner to destroy Yerushalayim. Harimu Kolahem, and he raised the voice calling the enemy. And first that enemy was Sancheiriv, with the army of Ashur. Hanifu Yod, he waved the hand. We learned how Sancheiriv waved his hand in scorn, and he said, what? I brought my whole army to conquer this Yerushalayim. There's nothing to it. It's a little city. We'll conquer it without a problem. That was Ashur. And Ashur was wiped out. And then Hashem says, Anitzi Vesi Limakudoshoi, I've commanded those that I've dedicated, referring to Bovel. As I say, the Gemara and the Mefarshim learn it's Paras, but the Al-Sheikh sees a reference that it could mean Hashem says, I've commanded those that have dedicated Bovel. Now it's Bovel's turn to come to Yerushalayim. And the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need Bovel to destroy Eretz Yisrael, not to conquer Yerushalayim. Because like it said in Pasuk Dalet, there's a commotion and a noise on the mountains. But Hashem Tzvokos Mefakeh Tzva Milchoma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appointing the legions of war. Hashem is the one who's going to bring the Churban. And they weren't the ones doing it. So even though they might be carrying out the anger of Hashem, but it should be done with a humility and a recognition that it's all because it's all from Hashem. And instead, Bovel was haughty. So therefore Hashem says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'hishpati ga'on zeidim, I am going to stop or put an end to that haughtiness of the wanton sinners, their pride and their haughtiness, the haughtiness of the mighty ones, I'll lower, I'll bring low. I'm going to stop the gaiva that Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Bavel had. Okir enosh mipoz. I'm going to value the enosh, the simple person. I gave him a greater value mipoz than a rare gold. Hashem took Nebuchadnezzar, and he made Nebuchadnezzar the emperor, the king of the whole world. The Gemara says a rule that kol ha-meitzar li Yisrael nasa rosh. Whoever caused problems for Klal Yisrael becomes the leader. You won't find that Klal Yisrael suffers from the no names, the countries that aren't known. In other words, whoever starts up with Klal Yisrael will be a world leader. And the whole world will be aware of their power, and there'll be a fear from the whole nation. You'll never have like a nation that nobody's heard of, and this Klal Yisrael is suffering so much from these simple people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it, if Bavel's going to be the one, Okir Enosh, I'll take the lowest person, a guy like Nebuchadnezzar, and all of a sudden he'll rise to greatness. But as great as he is, you've got to remember, V'odom, Klal Yisrael, that's like the important person in Pasuk Yud Beis. The Odom, he's more valuable than the Kesem Ophir, the precious gold of Ophir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Nebuchadnezzar great. But he has to remember, a Klal Yisrael is greater. And a Klal Yisrael is the focus, and that's what Hashem wants. And therefore, the Al-Sheikh says, the fact that Bavel went ahead and they brought their destruction, the destruction against Yerushalayim and against Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash, and they totally didn't do it because they were serving Hashem or because Hashem commanded, and they felt that they were doing it on their own and they were destroying Hashem's house. That's why we're learning about these punishments of Bavel. And now again in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hinini Meir Aleihem Es Modoi. Hashem said, I'm bringing the punishment against Bavel. Hashem is now going to do that through Modoi. Asher Kesef Lo Yachshovu. He found an enemy army that doesn't value silver. There's not going to be any way for Bavel to pay them off. V'zahav Lo Yachbetzuvo. And they won't desire gold. Ukishosos ne'orim tiratashna. And for the people in Bavel, ukishosos, their bows, the bows, the like bow and arrow, the bows of the people in Modai, ne'orim tiratashna. It'll cut apart, it'll like hit them in the stomach and they'll split open. It's Klal Yisrael HaRachmanu, we have such a feeling of mercy. It's hard to sometimes read these psukim. But as we've mentioned before, it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows in this world the Rishoyim get their punishment. Of course, in Olam Haba it'll certainly be settled. Any accounts that we don't see taken care of in this world will be settled in the next world or in the Imos HaMashiach. But there's a Kiddush Hashem that the people in Bavel, in this world, we see their punishment. And the Kishosos Ne'orim Teratashna, their Ne'orim are going to be killed, cut open. Ufrivetin Lo Yirachemu, on the fruit of the womb, the babies, the Pribetin Lo Yirachemu, they won't have any mercy. Albonim Lo Sochus Einom, they won't have any pity, any compassion on the Bonim, on the children of Bavel. Modai will kill them all. The term rachem is not the same as chus. We say like a chus v'rachem aleinu. Chus and rachem mean two different things. In Lashon HaKodesh there are no synonyms. Each word has its own flavor and its own meaning. The Malbim says rachem is when a person has a tender feeling of mercy. That such an innocent, such a beautiful, such a whatever the feeling that arouses his mercy. People feel more rachmonus on a little baby. Once the boy's grown up a little, and they look at that boy and they think, you know, that boy could carry a sword and that boy can be the enemy. So if the people come from Modai and they see a young boy from Bavel who's old enough to hold a sword, who's old enough to shoot a bow and arrow, of course they don't have any rachmonus. There's no pity on that boy. That boy could be an enemy. But there is very often pity on a baby. A baby's helpless. A baby can't do anything. Ufriveten lo yirachemu. The fruit of the womb, meaning that little baby, there's no rachmonus. They don't have any pity. Now, once the child's older, there's a different reason why the enemy would spare them. A little baby can't be of any help, can't be of any service. There's nothing to do with a little baby except to feed and take care of it. It's a full-time job. On an older boy, that boy can serve, that boy can work, they can give him forced labor, they can do something with him. Chus is a term that a person doesn't want to let something of value go to waste. He's chus, chus al memoinoi, the expression is. A guy cares about his money. You have something, you don't want it to go in the garbage. You're chus, you care about it, that something of value shouldn't be wasted. The bonim could have value. They could be taken to work and to serve. But al bonim lo sochus einam. The people from Modai are not on the bonim. They're not going to have any chus. They're not going to have any of this compassion or pity. They're not going to care about these bonim. Let's save them for slaves. But Modai is coming simply with a vengeance to punish Bavel. To punish Bavel, Bavel who had taken over the whole world and caused suffering all over. Now they were counter-attacking and they were going to destroy Bavel. Vahoysa Bavel, and it'll be that Bavel, Tzvi Mamlochos, Bavel that used to be the splendor, used to be the choicest, Tzvi is the most choice of the Mamlochos, all the kingdoms. Tiferes, the splendor Gaon Kastim, of the glory of the Kastim. Kastim was the name of the nation that lived in Bavel. And they were the Tiferes, the splendor Gaon Kastim, the glory of the people of Kastim. Kemapechas Elohim Esdom v'Samora. It's now going to become like Hashem who overturned Sodom and Amora. When you have a nation that's successful and flourishing and wealthy, you expect to see the grandeur in their capital city. You go in there, you know it's a mighty country, you expect to see the greatness in their seat of government. Bavel was Vaisa Bavel Tzvi Mamlachos. Among all the kingdoms, Bavel was the Tzvi, it was the choice. The choicest, the best of all the kingdoms. And you would expect that in an empire like Bavel. In Daniel, in fact, when it talks about the different empires that will control the world, Bavel is compared to the head that was gold. We refer to them as gold. Bavel was the Tzvi Mamlachos, the choicest of the kingdoms. And therefore, in their capital city, you would expect to see Tiferes, a splendor, Gaon Kastim, the glory of the Kastim. They would show off their capital city. And now, Kimapechas Elohim Esdom v'Amora. It's going to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu overturned Sodom and Amora. It's going to be, first of all, it's going to be sudden, like Sodom and Amora as soon as the day of punishment came, was instantly destroyed. And it's also going to be a total destruction, which we're going to elaborate more in the following Pesukim. But it's going to be like Sodom and Amora are destroyed. And Rashi brings down, in Pasuk Yutes, Bavel, Rashi says, Vahoysa Bavel, Shtei Puranios Bo'ula. Bovel got two punishments. Bishtei Shonim on two different years. The first punishment we've talked about, Daryovish Harag Belshazzar, the king of Modai. Daryovish killed Belshazzar, who is the king of Bovel, a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Daryovish killed Belshazzar. Umolach Shana, and then for a year he ruled over Bovel. Ulashana Hashnia, the following year, Nebchama Pecha Stom Min Hashamayim. There was an upheaval from Shamayim and the nation, the country was overturned. V'chein Shaninu B'Seder Olam. And that's what we learn in Seder Olam. Ubova Shana Hashmu Azos Shal Daryovesh. They heard the news about Daryovesh. And then Vachra B'Shana Hashmu Avahoysa Bovel Tzvi Mamlochos. And then the following year they heard about how Bovel, which was the choicest of kingdoms, was overturned like Sodom and Amorah. It's interesting to note, I believe I didn't have a chance to research it, but I believe that from the seven wonders of the ancient world, the seven wonders of the world, I think one of them was the Hanging Gardens of Bavel, of Babylonia. It was known as one of the most fertile and one of the most beautiful countries, and it was a wonder. And all of a sudden now Bavel is a bunch of rundown, it's shacks and dust, and it's not the beautiful spot that people come to admire and to see the beautiful gardens. It's all been destroyed. It could be that happened at this point. There was a time that Bavel, that used to be that beautiful country, was overturned like Sodom and Amorah. Lo sei shev lo netzach. Bavel will not be settled. It won't be inhabited forever. Velo sishkon ador vador. And it won't be settled from one generation to the next. Lo sei shev means to live there on a permanent level, on a permanent, with a permanence. Lo sei shev lo netzach. Lo netzach, it won't be an inhabited, settled place. Velosishkon, and even on a more temporary basis, it won't be settled ador vador from one generation to the next. Now, there are those, the Alshech learns, Rak dor vador, there were two generations, it was actually only two generations, that it was the total destruction. And I saw somewhere that in the history of Bavel, there's like a 50 or 60 year gap where it's not discussed at all. But which would fit in, the Alshech says, for two generations, it's totally empty. Velo sishkon ador vador. From one generation to the next, it won't be settled at all. And the truth is, Bavel itself has different parts. I believe even nowadays, some parts are no man's land, and some parts are settled. But we'll see, we'll touch on later, perhaps either today or the following shiurim, about Bavel, that there are some parts of Bavel that remain destroyed forever. But even those that are settled, could be for two generations the whole country was destroyed. But lo sei shev lo netzach, it won't be inhabited forever. Lo sishkon ador vador, from generation to generation it won't be settled. Lo yahel shom aravi, the Arab won't even pitch his tent over there. Even in those days, the Arabs would travel around pitching their tent, which is very temporary. But there'll be a point of destruction where the Arab won't even go there to make his tent. Yahel, as Rashi says, is like Ye'ehal, like Ohel. But the letter Aleph is dropped. Like Ye'ehal, he won't make his Ohel. But since it's, the letter is almost, the sound of it is almost there without the Aleph, Yahel or Yahel, so it just drops the Aleph, Lo Yahel Shom Arovi, it means the Arab won't pitch his tent, Vroim Lo Yerbitzu Shom. And the shepherds that travel from one place to another won't even bother going there, because that area will be empty. Vrovtzu Shom Tziim. And the Art School gives the translation for a lot of these, the names of these animals. Verovtsu shom tziim, the martens will lie there. It's a small animal. Umoluvateim ochim, and their houses will be filled with the ochim, is the ferret. These are wild animals that dwell in places of desolation. And if you don't know what the word is, it's okay. Because Rashi says, ochim lo yadati ma min chayahim. Rashi says, I don't know what ochim is. So even though some other mafarshim may say, Rashi didn't know what ochim is. But it's wild animals. Actually, in the brackets, there's one explanation. Ochim means will be overgrown with thorns and wild, to become like a fire, like a jungle. But the other mafarshim learned, Rav Tzimtzim, these animals will lie down there, umolivoteim ochim, and the houses will be filled with ochim. V'shochnu sham benos yana. Benos yana is a bird. They translate it as the owl. The owls will live there. U'se'irim yiraktu sham. And the demons, the se'irim, will dance there. It'll be in such an abandoned, destroyed country, the demons, the se'irim, will dance there. The Radak says on se'irim, heim hashedim, it's the demons, k'mo la'se'irim asher heim zonim achareim. It says in Parshas Achrimos, Klal Yisrael will not bring sacrifices to these other demons and the forces of evil, to the se'irim. V'nikru kain, and the Radak says they're called that, v'fishahem nirim kidemus se'irim, because they appear like se'irim, like goats. The demons have that shape. L'maimin behem, to the one who believes them. Those that believe in it will tell you they see something that looks like a goat, you know, and maybe holding a pitchfork, whatever that's the way they take it nowadays. But it's those that believe in it will tell you it looks like se'irim, like demons. Like a goat, and that's why they're called that. U'se'irim yiraktu sham, it would mean, according to the Radak, it could mean, the Radak seems to say there is no such thing, but for those who believe in it, they look like goats, and the place is such a place of desolation, those that believe in it will tell you the houses are haunted, and you got all these demons running around, and that's what the pasuk is telling you. The Ramban that we've mentioned a number of times, at the end of it, when he talks about the So'ir La'Azazel, again, that goat that's sent out, at the end of it, the Ramban, the last few lines, makes a comment that I thought was pertains to this. And he says, right after talking about the Soyer Hamishtaleach, the Ramban says, V'nei ha'inyin mevuor, what he wrote about the Se'irim, what the meaning of this sending a goat La'Azazel into the desert, it's I've explained that. V'zei yodea b'ruchos b'chochmas negromancia. And necromancy, there's a certain science that studies these other spirits and forces. Somebody who understands the secret of these other forces, demons and things like that, will understand what I'm saying. And I can't go into details, I can't explain this. Because I would have to first seal off the mouth of those people who feel they know so well, the chachamim, the wise men, beteva, who feel they understand nature, hanim shochim acharei hayavoni, that follow the teachings of the Greek, meaning Aristotle. Asher hikrish kol dover zulosi hamurgashlo. Aristotle had the opinion that anything that he couldn't sense, if he doesn't see it, he doesn't believe it. Asher hikrish, he denied kol dovar, everything, zulosi hamurgashlo, only something that he can sense, otherwise he denies it. V'higis daito lachshod, and he had that pride to be choshed, hu v'talmid of harashoyim. It's interesting that the Ramban feels so forcefully against these philosophers, he and his talmidim, all those wicked ones, ki chol inyan shlo hisige lov, Hu bisvaroso. Anything that he can't grasp with his svara, with his intellect, einenu emes, it's not true. That's the end of the Ramban says. The Ramban says that there are those out there, Aristotle and the philosophers, that anything that they don't understand with their logic, they say isn't true. If you can't see it, you don't believe it. And the Ramban says that I've explained to you the sinyan of the soil Azazel, and there's truth to it. There's something to it, and he's not getting into exactly the secrets behind it. But one more thought on the subject of demons. It's brought down in Yoredeya, in Halacha. It's brought down in Halacha, in Simin Kuf Ayin Tes. In Simon Kufayin Tess, where it talks about different things that a person is allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do in terms of believing in black magic and in sorcery and in omens and that type of those type of belief. In Kufayin Tess, about Kishif, is a person allowed to believe this is a sign of good fortune, and so over there. The Mechaber says in Sif Vov, Misha Noshcho Akrov, if a guy is bitten by a scorpion, Mutter Lilcho Shalov, he's allowed to say the Lachash, whatever charms would be said. Vafilu B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, where certain medicines aren't allowed, but if a guy is bitten by a scorpion, you're allowed to say whatever magic words, whatever formula works. V'Ava B'Shein Adover Moil Klum, even though it doesn't help at all, saying these words is nonsense. It doesn't help at all. Hoilu Masukinu, but listen, the guy's in a life-threatening situation. He's critical. He was stung by a scorpion. He's Masukin. He tiru, so they allowed it. Kadesh lo titarif daito alav, in order that he shouldn't just, in his mind, he'll feel like all is lost. Sometimes if the guy's critically ill and the guy believes, do something, and it's total nonsense. But if he thinks by doing it, it's going to bring him a refuah, it's important to do it, because if he feels that he'll get better, that will help him hopefully get better. So therefore, saying these magic words isn't going to help. But you're allowed to do it because the person will think it helps, and therefore you can do it. That's what the Machaber says. There's a very interesting Bir Hagro on this. It's in the letter Yud Gimel. And he says these words are taken from the Rambam. And he writes, Avol kol haboim achrov, everyone that followed the Rambam, cholku alov, they all argued with him. Sharei harbe lechoshim nemru b'gemara. The Gemara says many times a person should say something in a certain situation. The Gemara mentions saying these charms. V'hu nimshach achar philosophia. The Rambam followed the path of philosophy. V'lachein kosav, and therefore the Rambam writes, shekshofim is like sorcery. Veshemos, and using magic names, ulachoshim, and the charms, veshedim, and demons, ukmeos, and the amulets, hakol hu sheker. The Rambam writes it's all a lie. It's all stusim. That's what the Rambam holds. Aval kvar hiku asan al kodkodo. But they hit the Rambam over the head for saying such a thing. Shremotzino harbe maisios bigamora. There's many maises in the Gemara. Al pishemos ukshofim. The Gemara brings mices. A woman said kishuf, and she stopped the boat. And then Amoroim said like a counter charm, and they were able to release the boat. The Gemara has many stories, and he brings a number of places in Gemara. And then the Gro ends off. Vafilosofia he tosso barov likcha. The philosophy misled the Rambam. It was just so enticing. The study of philosophy, the Farish HaGemara Kol B'Derech Al Tzuyi, that he learns the Rambam, the Gemara, is that the Gemara is figurative. He doesn't take the Gemara literally. V'lakar osam mipashton, and to remove the Gemara from the simple meaning, v'chas v'sholem eini mamin bohem, v'lo mehem, v'lo mehamonam, I have nothing to do with anything with this school of thought. Elakol ha'devarim heim kipshutam, but everything should be taken literally, what the Gemara says about the demons and the charms and the black magic. El shish ben pnimios. Now there is a inner meaning. Lo pnimios shobali ha philosophia. Nothing to do with philosophy. Shehem chitzonios, which is an outside school of learning. Elishobali ha'emes, but those who know Kabbalah. There is a deeper meaning, al-pi Kabbalah, what the Gemara means, with all these deeper things. But as I say, if you meet somebody who considers it all nonsense, the Rambam says that. So you can let him be. The Rambam has that school of thought. But as the Gra says, the other Mefarshim all take it literally. U'se'irim yiraktu sham, they would learn literally. There'll be se'irim, there is such a thing as demons. And even they explain that nowadays when the Koach HaKedusha is weaker, we don't feel the holiness in the world, the Koach HaTumma is also weaker. So nowadays you could be, there are no Shadim around nowadays because we don't have that Madrega to have a counterforce of evil like a Shade. And Pasuk Chof Beis, the cats will howl in the mansions above El. Visanim and the jackals, these are wild animals, Behech Leonag, and all those palaces of delight. It's going to be a place where you walk into the beautiful palace and there'll be wild animals running around. V'karov lavo ita. Her time is soon to come. The time of Bavel's destruction is going to be very soon. V'yameha lo yimashechu. And her days won't endure for very long. There's two things. First of all, Karov lovo ita. The time of Bavel's punishment is here. And besides the fact that Bavel deserves a punishment, but v'yameha lo yimashechu, it's time for the next empire, for Paras and Madai, and eventually in their time the second Beis HaMikdash would be built, and therefore the days won't be long till Bavel's destroyed.